Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I was just looking up Luka's catch and shoot. Yeah, he didn't, not that many, but the reason why, a big reason why, was a lot of times when he did just catch, he didn't shoot. He pump faked and he went to the hole. So he didn't have a hell of a lot of attempts. But it's funny. He's not a good three-point shooter. As a matter of fact, in his final year, he was just at the end of the season, regular season, he was 31.8%. And he had the seventh most attempts, 491. And he was by far the lowest percentage shooter on the list of the top 20 attempts in the league. In four seasons of professional ball in Europe, this is so funny how this has changed. Four seasons of professional ball in Europe, Doncic shot 33.3%. In his last year, he shot 28% from three, understanding that shooting numbers in Europe can be wonky as the games are more physical. When we were growing up, was it not the exact opposite?
What do you mean?
The NBA was physical, and Europe, you were a finesse player.
Yes. With Oscar Schmidt and all these great scorers you heard about. Yeah,
well, he was South American, but...
But international.
Yeah, players. International, right.
International players. International play was based on more of the beautiful game of... And remember... There were physical moments in the NBA, but the NBA was a finesse, pretty game, even in the midst of – it was just like when it got to the playoffs, the Lakers and Celtics could get rough in the playoffs. But, like, in general, it wasn't a bloodbath in the 80s. It really wasn't. Not until we started getting later in the 80s. Really, the Pistons made that a thing where you were like, oh, God. But there were. But every once in a while you run into a team, Jeff – the Bruce brothers of Rick Mahorn and Jeff Ballard.
Oh my!
Those guys were, you know, they were known for beating you up. But there, every once in a while, you'd have some kind of leftover ABA teams. Because remember, well, NBA and ABA teams, it was kind of, you could have a fist fight and not, you don't even get kicked out of the game. You could have a fist fight and like break it up. Clean the blood off, get back out there. Like, you weren't even kicked out of the games for fist fights. It was crazy.
No, yeah.
That's why Calvin Murphy punched people. Like, people were terrified of Murphy. Because I didn't see this, but it's legendary. Michael Murphy told me about it. Calvin jumped up and grabbed Kevin Kuhnert with some seven-footer by the afro, pulled him down, and hockey punched him in the face like 14 times before anyone could break it up. They said Murph was the scariest fighter in the league. It was like not even – his hands were so fast and he was so angry that he would just blister you before you could even get a punch off. But, but they still played a very spaced-out game, and they weren't real, real physical. And all of a sudden, man, the Pistons turned it into – then Charles Oakley's having to be drafted to protect Jordan and, you know.
Yeah, no. Kind of stuff. I mean, that's how they won. That's how they did it. And they won championships doing that. And, to be physical. But it's just so funny. You know, it's a little wonky because of how physical the Euro League is as opposed to the NBA. Wow. That is a 180 from where we were.
Remember, Luka also is – those are those leagues where 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds are playing, and they're playing against 28-year-old men. So, of course, you know – They're going to take advantage of you and get beat up. They're going to beat you up. Luka's going to be a guy whose shooting gets better and better and better and better.
Like Jordan.
Smarter shooter.
Like Jordan. You know, it took Jordan a little while to get that to become a good three-point shooter.
By the way, congratulations to both Joe Biden and Donald Trump. They both won the presidency last night.
Apparently. They're both claiming victory.
Yep, they both won, so congratulations to both those guys. And I think this is going to be interesting. The dual kind of a joint ruling of the country will be a really interesting thing.
Will they get to choose which day they're president? Like, I feel like because Trump has done it for 4 years already, he should get 3 days a week, and then Biden should get four because Trump's done a lot of the work already.
Days. As long as get the week. Best days.
Yeah, no, he gets the weekends off because we know he loves those.
Well, no, he probably wants the weekdays off because there's fewer people on the golf course.
You think
during the week?
Then why does he always travel on the weekend to play golf?
Well, because he's got to do some stupid stuff, but he won't if he doesn't have to. I mean, I think Trump would enjoy being the easier schedule of president on the weekends.
He could,
and the golf courses are less busy.
Huh? You think
during the week?
You think the world takes the day off on the weekend, so his load gets a little lighter as a president on the weekend?
Yeah.
Huh. I feel like considering how many golf courses he owns, crowds won't be an issue for him.
I don't feel like that's a huge concern for a president ever.
Well, no, and especially him. He drives right up onto the greens. He drives through people. The Secret Service clears him out of the way. But you don't want all those people standing around. You don't like them to. So
yeah,
I mean,
I think he can shut
on
down
Mondays.
His courses.
The courses are you could shut the course down on Monday, and the president just goes and plays. And
I just think it's going to be like a timeshare. They'll just like timeshare the presidency out. Try to undo each other's stuff all the time. It'll be cool. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I feel like Trump may need to up the total in Michigan because he's for the first time since I guess the start he's now trailing officially. So if he wants to share the presidency, he's going to have to step it up. And maybe he's going to have to step up. Hey, man, you want a dual presidency? You can't let Biden win the last four states.
No. Did you see Tommy Tuberville?
Did you see the stories about that?
Yeah.
Like Tommy Tuberville did exactly what he did as a head coach. Not really say much, not really do much, and just coast to victory.
Yep.
Those were the stories written about him. Didn't really wade into any subject matter.
Nothing. He wouldn't. No. He really didn't. He didn't. Yeah. He wouldn't debate.
He had Trump speak. Well, why would you? That's like, well, here's what it is. He had a lead. He had a 15-point lead. He had a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter, and he's just going to run the ball and eat up the clock. He's not taking unnecessary chances like a debate. He had Trump gave the thumbs up to him, and he's like, I'm riding this out. I'm not doing anything that could hurt me. I already know I'm an Auburn head coach in the state of Alabama, which is fine for Auburn fans, but I don't want to tick Alabama fans. He's just got to be careful about not. Now, you would think from a political standpoint, he's not going to tick off Alabama fans, but you know, he is a former Auburn head coach. You don't need to give them a reason to get mad at you for any reason. And here's the first thing. I would have tried to goad him into an Alabama Auburn thing. Like, Coach, if I were the other his opponent in a debate, the first thing I'm saying is, and Tommy Tuberville is the same guy you remember. The first thing I want to do is congratulate Mr. Tuberville on a job well done on the kick six. Tuberville was still there, wasn't he? Or was he there for kick six? No, that was Gus.
Yeah, it was Gus.
Whatever Auburn upset over Alabama I could find. I would try to throw anything I could to rub it in Alabama's face to remind them that that's what Tuberville was.
Well,
I'll never forget what he said about Alabama one time. One of the funniest things is when he said, in this state there are two teams, the good guys and the good guys, and then there's Alabama.
And those dirty trash elephants.
Yeah.
He called them. Okay, so we found out. What's worse, being an Auburn guy or being a Democrat?
Well,
it's always
Alabama, yeah.
Democrat in Alabama. Yeah.
Right. I mean, so how about that? How many Alabama people had to vote for Tuberville?
Boy, I wish SEC guy could come on and talk about this.
Wow. Why can't he?
Why can't he?
I mean, Tuberville taking over the state of Alabama has got to be bittersweet. No, it's not bittersweet. It sucks. They already know they're going to have a Republican winner. the fact that he won the primary has to be killing SEC.
Well, here is the ad. Well, it's legendary, Tommy Tuberville, how he quits jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And his opponent, Doug Jones, ran this ad.
And it ran during the Alabama A&M game.
During the Alabama A&M game, this ran.
Quitter is how he quits. Tommy Tuberville, after telling his players the only way he would leave his team at Ole Miss would be in a pine box, Tommy Tuberville quit the next week. He quit on his players at Auburn, but still collected a $5 million buyout and $250,000 no-show job before moving on to Texas Tech. He quit on his players at Texas Tech, too, even walking out of a dinner with a recruit to take the job at Cincinnati. Then in his last coaching job, Tommy Tuberville quit on his players again. And as he slinked away to booze, he told Cincinnati students to go to hell.
Hey, go to hell. Get a job. Hey, go to hell. Get a job.
Now, after moving to Alabama just 18 months ago, he wants you to trust him as your United States Senator? It's a six-year term. Fear the thumb, remember the quitter.
I'm Senator Doug Jones, and I approve this message because I'll never quit on the people of Alabama.
Well, I got to tell you.
We got to remember. Hold on. We got to remember this state. Doug Jones barely beat Roy Moore. You know Roy Moore?
Yeah, because Roy Moore was.
And the only reason he beat him is because Roy Moore was doing weird stuff in malls.
Right.
With young girls.
Yeah.
And he barely beat him.
He was a mall Santa?
Pretty much. Well, and he barely beat him.
He wanted him to sit on his lap.
So and that's the state of Alabama. That it took that for the Democratic senator to win. And so what? He's a quitter. He ain't a lib.
Right.
You know what's worse than a quitter? And an Auburn coach?
Pelosi.
You know what? She's like two steps away from the presidency now. But what's worse is a liberal in Alabama.
I tell you what, though. I think that commercial sounded like that is a really well-done commercial. If that's really as good as you could possibly do in that state. To have him, he quit and took $5 million buyout. He quit on his players after the Ole Miss game. You even talk about after the Ole Miss game, he said he'd be in a pine box. I mean, that's specific. Then he got $250,000 for a no-show job, which like, oh, man, he's just stealing money. Then they spent just a little bit of time on Texas Tech. But by the way, everything that they said in the commercial was accurate.
Accurate.
He did leave with a recruit right there. I mean, that's low class. And then that's actual audio. Now, shut up. Get a job or whatever. Now, he's saying that to his own fans. He was at Cincinnati.
No, we know he was saying it to the SMU fans because we've heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
We know. When you're getting booed, you're getting booed at home. You say it to the opposing fans
because
you
know fans, they have that. Booing you,
yeah. They have that energy as opposed to celebrating their lead at halftime.
Right, right. So I thought you were going to remix that in with Bill O'Brien instead of Tuberville. Just have that in there.
I just pulled it. Give me some time.
But how good is that commercial though? Painting Tommy Tuberville. He quit three different times. He took money he didn't do anything for. He quit on this. He's going to quit on your players. He quit on Alabama. That's as good as Doug Jones could have possibly done. Like, you can't have a better commercial. And he still got his ass kicked.
And still got his ass handed to him.
Still got his ass kicked.
813 ESPN 97.5. I got to talk right now about somebody who does it well every single darn time, and that's the Loken Group. And Lance Loken, and you're really going to like Lance Loken. You're really going to like this dude because Lance Loken is going to come. First of all, the very first thing that Lance Loken is going to do, he's going to make you an immediate cash offer. Okay. So how much, how badly do you want to sell this place? Do you want to, I call it the rigmarole. The rigmarole is just all kinds of crap that you have to do. And I've sold a house before and it's like, wow, are you kidding me? Because the inspector comes and there's so much that you have to do and the showings that you have to have. And you have to get the house ready for all of that and everything else. Well, listen, with Lance Loken, it's amazing. Two days. First day, first week, 46 showings in 2 days, 19 offers, 10,000 over list price. This happens. This happens with the Loken Group. It doesn't happen other places because they're just regular people. Lance Loken is a superstar. They do more. I'm telling you, they do multiple. Of the average agent sells two houses a year. This guy sells, it's unbelievable the number of houses this guy buys and sells every single year. Over 2,100 homes and $530 million in volume for the local group, for the Loken Group. This is happening right now. So if you want to sell your home, go with the biggest, go with the best. 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624, or the Loken, L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, watching Carson Wentz right now, that rollout left L that you were talking about, and he just fumbled. Just so dumb.
Just held the ball with no one in the area and just took the sack and fumbled. Just throw it away.
Throw it away.
It's an easy play to make.
Well, now some of them, though, the one in the pocket where he fumbled, goodness gracious.
Yeah. So,
he got lit up.
Yeah, those aren't. Now, that's part of his turnover issue. I wouldn't even blame that on him. But there's enough of the other things where it's clearly his fault. Credit to the NFC East, the quarterback play in that division for the freak. Fine, I'm not going to crack on DiNucci with the Cowboys. But the two starting quarterbacks who were drafted in the top five? When was Daniel Jones drafted? Was he I know he was first rounder.
I think he was five. Yeah, I think he was
five. Dumb plays he made the other night.
Both of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is a division of quarterbacks right there.
Oh, yeah. You throw Haskins in there who's lost his job to Kyle Allen.
Well, and nobody. Apparently, they said, who wants him? Who wants a trade for Haskins? Nothing. No. Nobody. No. Zero.
Haskins here. Haskins, come get your Haskins here. And everyone's just walking by. No, no one stops.
Ah, it's like selling. It's like selling liver and onions at the ballpark.
Haskins here.
Who needs
Haskins
liver and here? Onions?
You want some Haskins here?
Cold beer.
No, that ain't cold Haskins. Beer.
Haskins no, here.
You got to do like a cold beer, popcorn, Haskins. Cold beer, Haskins.
Like you just try to tail, hey. You try to dovetail.
Yeah, I'll have two beers.
I have
no
two
Haskins.
Beers, no Haskins.
No, no. Hold hey, the Haskins.
Hold
the Haskins.
No, I'll throw it in Haskins. For you.
Don't throw the Haskins to me.
I want that skunk beer.
Yeah, don't throw me the Haskins. You know, something like the peanut guy will throw peanuts, and then he throws peanuts to about 700 people, and you think he forgot about me. I swear to God, probably at least five times I've thought peanut guy's forgotten about me. This is sweet. I'm about to get these $40 peanuts for free. Peanut guy always remembers where he's thrown the peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
He'll fire the behind the back peanut throw. And I'm talking about this one guy.
Oh, he
like
was
a balder old guy. That guy was so
unbelievable.
Funny.
He could throw three sections over and hit you.
It was perfect in the hands. He could throw you open.
Yep.
He was an unbelievably accurate peanut guy. And then the memory on this guy to remember that you owed him money for his peanuts. Like, I'd sit there, I'd avert my gaze, I'd keep the peanuts down by my feet for a while, intentionally trying to game the system. And peanut guy's like, hey, he'd just go, $4.50. Like, and he'd throw that little purse thing to you. You had to throw the money in there. Like, oh, okay, peanut guy.
Yeah.
See that you remembered.
You remembered. No, you're not trying to get over on peanut guy. Dude, that's how he makes his money. Goodness gracious, trying to get over on Peanut Guy. You know who's getting over?
Oh, Bill Haskett.
You know who's getting over? Who? Is NBA.
Whitney Merciless. Whitney Merciless, yeah.
Oh, God.
Bernard McKinney.
No. Every, what?
Zach who else? Cunningham. Oh, Zach Cunningham, yeah.
Who, anyway, David Johnson, yeah. Who needs a David Johnson? No. No, thank
Peanuts,
you.
Peanuts, Colbert. Whitney Merciless.
Overpaid linebackers.
I don't even want to stop already.
Aaron Fells, yeah.
No.
Will Fuller, how much for the Fuller? $100,000. Oh, no, no. Not, never mind on the Fuller. Second round of Fuller. And the wife goes, no, we're not doing Will Fuller for a second. Never mind. I'll just take a beer.
Will Fuller was like that 90-inch TV your wife tells you, nah, you're not getting it. You don't need it. It
well,
costs
that's
too much.
Yeah. That would look good.
Yes, I do.
Room,
it costs too much.
But guess what? Yes, I do need it.
But it costs too much. Yep. It costs way too much.
That would look good in our living room, that Will Fuller. Like, yeah, well, you're not getting it.
Well, why not? Because we got to give, because we gotta give up what? The color TV for it.
The reviews are in. Let me read the reviews. Looks great early on. Always in for service. Yeah. Always in. Hell, let's go to the other review. 3 stars.
You know what he is? He's a Jaguar. You ever drive a Jaguar?
No.
Those things are in the shop. Old.
Well, I've never driven a Jaguar.
Well, I did because my boss at Channel 51, the owner at Channel 51, my car broke down and I couldn't drive it. He goes, here, take my Jag. And I was like, okay. And I got to drive that around. And not for long, because it went right into the shop about a week later.
Did you see Will Fuller's tweet yesterday?
Yeah, Spanky
just twiddling his fingers, waiting for some news.
Mm-hmm.
You're still here, Will. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Will, guess what? You don't get to go to have Aaron Rodgers throw you and win games. You also don't have to. You don't have to live in Green Bay.
But Deshaun, it's kind of win-win.
No.
Deshaun Watson already. Well, I don't know why we even did this. Deshaun already told you, ain't nobody was leaving.
Well, he said that, yeah. But they said, well, Deshaun, slow down. Well, if we can get something, Deshaun, we're not going to get. Well, Deshaun knew. You ain't getting over on nobody.
He knew the trade market.
Well, wait. Easterby's making the deals? We ain't getting over on nobody.
That man's still too busy listening to Rosanna. He ain't making no trades.
Yeah. Mm. So the NBA season is in definite doubt. Well, it's not in doubt. There will be a season. But according to Shams, NBA and NBAPA are deciding between two possibilities. 72 games that start on December 22nd or a January 18th, 60 game start. The vote is planned for Thursday night or Friday morning. A December start would generate significantly more revenue for the league, which, by the way, they're partners in the league. So, guess what? We make less, you make less. And significantly less by not hitting 70 games because of a television contract. And then, giving players more rest and starting in January would come at a steeper financial cost, and it would also interfere with the summer 2020. I don't think, either way, the summer 2021 Olympics...
You can throw that away because there ain't gonna be. You can might as well get. You're getting backup NBA players if you want, and college guys. It ain't gonna matter.
Yeah,
NBA stars are not playing in the Olympics.
No, you probably see some of the guys that are in the D League or the G League.
Yeah, I'm gonna predict you don't see. I think it goes in waves, and then you had a rush again by the top players to want to play in the. In the Olympics together, I think you're about to see a wave go the other way where players don't want to play for country, players don't want to take off their summers. I just think you're going to see that Olympics is going to go back down for the U.S.
Well, word I got, and it'll be interesting to hear from Tillman about this, word I got is that a lot of people, after last year, after all of the controversy with the NBA, all of the kneeling, all of the Black Lives Matter and everything else, is that a lot of season ticket holders aren't coming back. And it'll be interesting to see. I know a guy, he said, I had Rocket tickets for 15 years. He said, I'm not going back, and I've gotten calls from them about 5-10 times "Hey, come on, are you come?" And he said, "Like, no, I'm not going back. I'm not going back."
Well, let me tell you what the cost was. If you didn't agree to initiatives for the players, you would not have finished the season. They wouldn't have played. It would have cost you playoff money. It would have cost you your lost season tickets can still be made up by somebody else.
Do you think the low ratings, though? I mean, they were low. No question about it. For the NBA Finals, and it was a kind of an attractive NBA Finals. Do you think it had anything to do with, you know, how the NBA handled all of this?
What do you mean? Didn't baseball struggle too?
Yeah, but
baseball beat their World Series beat the NBA.
No, I'm not suggesting that. But wasn't baseball down overall too?
Yes, baseball was down, but not like the NBA was down.
Oh, baseball was way, way down. I believe only
one World Series game lost to any NBA Finals game.
The NBA had games like the Rockets had the highest rated. The Rockets had the highest rated cable against the Lakers. Was the highest rated cable game of the year? Like, that's the problem here with this year is you had some crazy anomalies in both directions from a rating standpoint.
But that wasn't at the second game of the bubble.
No. This is in the playoffs.
Oh,
yeah, it was in the playoffs. They had an incredibly highly rated game. Rockets continue to rate very well on TV. They do well on TV ratings. I think it's tough because you had it. A, it's not when we're used to seeing basketball. B, and you saw this, John, there wasn't the same level of excitement for NBA and even baseball that we were expecting. We thought everyone would go bananas because sports came back. But, you know, I think a lot of people use the draft, the NFL draft, as their scenario. The draft was unique. It happened for 3 days. It wasn't a whole season, and it was the very first kind of sporting event, along with the golf with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. It was literally people were starving for that. You had off times. Baseball and basketball both started at way different times than usual. I'm interested to see what happens next year. Now, were some numbers hurt? Absolutely. You had people who were turned off. So, of course, you had some viewers. What percentage? Because what percentage of NBA viewers? This is the interesting thing. People are going to blame that on NBA. But, Dale, you can probably speak. You've probably seen this before, too. The NBA's numbers have been coming down. Before the Black Lives Matter stuff from this year in the bubble, last year was a disappointing year for NBA ratings. It's something that people can't put a finger on. And now they're starting to just realize so many NBA fans are younger fans who stream, who get them from illegal streams, who get them from manners that do not typically show up in rating systems.
Yeah, I think people are quick to, they really want to make this a, well, you're a woke league now, so you have a problem, maybe knock it off and things will go back to normal. I don't think they're ever going to do that again. I think we consume things differently. We do. As you talked about, Lance, how do your kids watch games? Like, how do they consume the NBA?
My kids consume through YouTube and through YouTube videos. They watch highlights on ESPN's digital platform, and they watch stuff on YouTube. They'll watch on TV occasionally, but they don't mind missing a game and reading about it and watching videos and highlights.
And YouTube. There are multiple,
and yet they know every player on every game.
Well, there are every team. Multiple YouTube channels devoted to like 9-minute cutups of the games. You can watch an entire highlight, and not just the basic things you see in local news. You can watch important plays, 9 minutes worth of highlights. You don't have to watch an entire game to get a picture.
No, but I'm looking at baseball right now. Yeah, I'm looking at NBA Finals right now. Game 7, 2016, 31 million people watched. Game 3, 2020, 5.94. I mean, that is
game. What game? What
precipitous.
What game? That was when the
wasn't
baseball. This, it's like the least watch of all time.
Weren't the Lakers up 2-0 and looked like they were going to run away with that series?
Yeah, but I mean, it's the least watch of all time. We've had plenty of 2-0 series.
And we've never had a series start in August or September. Yeah.
No, right.
October,
baseball,
whatever.
But we also never playoffs. Had, you know, zero sports for months and months.
Well, hold on. Baseball playoffs were on at the same time, I remember, because I was not watching. I watched playoffs.
Yeah. The team has two injured starters. You're down 2-0.
I thought the series was over with the Lakers.
I'm not saying if there's not something to it, but there's a lot that goes into that particular number.
No, absolutely. But I'm telling you what, I mean, and I don't know. We'll find out next year. We'll find out next year. I think, well, we're not going to have the disposable income that we had before. There's going to be a lot of factors. Watch all sports. I would be interested to see. I was watching, obviously, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. That would have been a full stadium, right, with everybody crazy. But they had, I don't know, are they maxing out on their, is everybody maxing out on their tickets? But trick-or-treaters didn't, we had zero knocks on the door. Zero knocks on the door. Because parents, I mean, it's just, everyone is just afraid to go anywhere. And do what they used to do.
Yeah, I mean, I believe my nearest movie theater has limited showings. I ain't walking in there.
No.
I'm not doing that.
No.
No. It's safe. And
concerts. I mean, Justin has concerts now that he says, I don't know how many people would be here, but it certainly is where, you know, it's going to be harder to draw people to come together with other people.
I'm telling you right now, the TV... the limited release movie like Tenet is opening up back in movies again. You should absolutely go see it in a theater. You're not going to have any kind of a crowd. You feel super, super safe. Cause I went, you know, obviously for that, I went for an early showing. I felt super, super safe. I think movies right now, because people are staying away in droves. It's way safer than restaurants. Way safer. I think movies, because they're so big, the theaters, are one of the safest places you can go right now is you could go see a movie. People just are not going to the movies at all. Movies are going to really struggle. Lowe's are shut down. You know that one across street from 610, John, the big Lowe's? That's shut down.
Yep. No. All right, take a break. 831 ESPN 97.5. We're not trying to give anybody a jab here, Lance. It's just a fact.
Site Jab has been the number one website developer in the state of Houston. They're the best. They've been around for two decades in our state of Houston, and they are they're amazing at the work that they do. They just like everyone else, you know, their websites from 2000, 2002, they laugh about it now. But the same way that a lot of people laugh about websites from 2015, and many of you listening right now, you had somebody with your company made the website, and you say, oh, no, this looks good. This looks good. But here's the problem. So many people consume through mobile devices now, and they consume much of that. When they're looking for you, looking at your business, they're looking at your competitors as well. And if your website isn't up to par, they immediately are going to think that your business isn't up to par. And that's where SiteJab can come in. Not only do they make it look visually stimulating and, you know, is it going to look sharp when they build your website, but they're going to make it so that the user interface is clean. You're going to have all the bells and whistles on there, and they're going to make it easy for people to find the information they need and for it to look good and to interact with you quickly so that you can convert those eyes into business leads. And that is what we're talking about. It's how you make your money. SiteJab.com. It takes 3 to 6 weeks for a brand new website to be showing up right there in your place. You know, there's no downtime. Your website's not going to be down when they're building the site. They'll just flip it to the new site, and boom, your customer base is going to be very excited. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, it's funny. I don't know what the hell happened, but on my ballot, Dan Crenshaw was on it. And on my wife's, he wasn't. I forget which one she had on hers. And then she was voting for, like, proposals in Bel Air. We haven't lived in Bel Air in 6 years.
Uh-oh.
I didn't have any in mind. It was weird.
Voter fraud.
No, that's what the ballot they gave you. And I voted, you know, I had Crenshaw on my ballot. And I I don't know. Am I in his? I have no idea.
Did it come across that he was in the military, John?
It came across that he apparently something happened to his eye or something.
I just hope you understood the message that he was in the armed forces. Did you get that?
I didn't get that. No,
you missed that message?
I missed that.
Huh.
I did for the first time see his wife.
And what do you think?
She's smoking hot.
There it is.
So I voted for him.
So you know he can convince people.
Right. He got her. I mean he's a salesman. Hey, what head coach was it? I forget which one. Told me at your job interview you brought your wife. Because if you didn't have a smoking hot wife, then you couldn't sell a kid in a living room.
I think it was James Franklin who said that.
James Franklin?
Yeah. He said he looks at his guys and goes, "Well, see your wife." Well, yeah. Not because I want her. I just want to know what
I
you
want
can,
to know. I want to know sell. If you're what kind of salesman.
Well, because I see you and you're not attractive.
Yeah, you ain't going that good. How about these odds? At 9 Eastern last night, Biden was -145. For those of you who don't know betting, minus means you're the favorite. Plus means you're the underdog. Trump was +110. At 9:25, Biden's -110, Trump's -120. So it's about even. At 10:10, Trump is -775 and Biden's +450.
Okay, so that's I don't know what site that I follow.
This is Odd Sharks.
Okay, I followed it on a real site that you can really wager on, like a real one. And I was following it throughout the night because they had it. The highest I saw Trump was even early on, it went from Biden.
This is a very reliable site.
Well, I'm telling you one, a guy who you know who runs it.
Yeah.
That site that people are actually playing on. And Odd Shark is, they create odds. I don't even know if they have an actual sports book. What I'm saying here is this is where you can't just throw numbers out there because people are firing at it. I saw it start off at 190 Biden. Then I saw it go to 165 Biden. Then I saw it go to about even, like you talked about. The highest I saw it go to Trump is Trump -300 at one point. But these are all people who are doing this. This is where the value was. You're looking because everyone's watching the same thing, the odds makers. So when they're seeing certain states are really going heavy for Trump in one direction without understand, the odds makers are moving numbers without really understanding how many votes are still to be counted and how they got counted. And so then I saw it go from 300 Trump because I was sending screenshots to a friend of mine. So it was 300. Then it went all of a sudden Trump -245. Then it went Trump 190. Then it went Trump 160. Then it went Trump 190 again. And then I went to bed because I realized, okay, this thing is going to last a lot longer. I don't want to stay up.
And not only that, you know, I mean, you could – listen, I went to bed last night, I don't know, about 11:30, whatever, 12, whatever it was. And it looked like, man, Trump's going to win. That's it. And then in the middle of the night, holy crap. It is now, at 6:30 this morning, it was Biden -390, Trump +270. That's Biden, how it shifted.
See, I wouldn't go, that seems too high also. Biden -390.
Well, I don't know. Biden's a big favorite right now.
Yeah.
No, I see it. I see it, but I don't.
Well, I'll go look on my bookie right now and see where it is. He was -350 this morning when I did the spot.
Yeah, he leads Wisconsin, and the vote apparently is a lot of mail-in, which he was allegedly leading going in. They just started counting them from Democratic counties. He's taken a lead in Michigan with Democratic counties outstanding. The lead in Nevada is a small one, but the rest of the votes are supposed to be absentee mail-in votes, which he's supposed to win. And he may even win Georgia. So that's now where that number's coming from.
Well, actually, Biden's gone down since we've been on the air. He's -260 now, Trump +190.
That's what I'm talking about. It's that number was way too high. It should be lower because Georgia – I don't think Georgia, Nevada, I think he is going to win, Biden is going to win. Trump, I think Georgia is going to go to Trump.
Well, he doesn't need Georgia.
Based on the percentage. No, I know. That's why I'm already – it's the real key is going to be Pennsylvania, maybe. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin and Michigan right now are the keys.
If Biden leads in both, and if he wins those, he wins it.
Guess who's the favorite – for the 2024 U.S. presidential election?
Donald Trump Jr.
Tom Cotton?
Neither.
Who?
AOC.
No chance.
No.
She may not even win New York.
The favorite. Kamala is second. Biden is +300 as well. And then Kamala is plus 350.
Your reaction to that is the reason why she won't win the nomination for the Democrats. There's no way she would get run off the board.
Mark Cuban is plus 5,000. Kanye is plus 5,000. Ivanka is plus 3,000.
We could have a smoking Don hot Jr. president. They say though. Don if Jr. is not jail. Don Jr. supposedly.
Tom Cotton is plus 1,500 though.
Tom Cotton can't even get his dad to hug him. You think he's going to be able to? Don Jr. can't get his dad to hug him. You think he's going to win the presidency?
I'm going to tell you who's going to be the Republican candidate.
Steve, your boy from Louisiana?
Nope. Who? Crenshaw.
Dan Crenshaw?
Yep.
He's going to.
Watch. He's not national.
Watch.
He's not national enough. The same thing happened with Beto. We thought Beto, because he's in Texas, was going to be a.
I'm just telling you, and then we'll go back to this day.
I think Crenshaw is going to be a player. Yeah. I agree with you. I just don't think it's in 4 years.
Michelle Obama's plus 1,000. Bernie won't be a. How's Bernie plus 1,000? Bernie's still alive plus 1,000?
You may want to bet on that.
Yes, that's the action.
Reese, let's get him in here. Let's talk about the Texans draft. What do you say, Reese?
Hey, what's going on? I wanted to talk about the Texans draft, but if I'm I'll call back another day or later time. You guys were talking about the NBA, and as a fan of basketball, you know, I'm not a fan of basketball anymore. I'm more of a fan of football because it's not as predictable. With the NBA, it's too predictable. I think guys like Harden and LeBron, where the star has to have the ball, and that the position is basketball, everybody stands around and watch them dribble. It's just not entertaining. Like, basketball is entertaining when you had Jerry Sloan's offense, when you had Rick Adams' offense. We had a triangle offense when, you know, it was the big man actually mattered. And I think it's just not attractive to a lot of us. I know they're generational things, and maybe younger people are watching it. But for somebody like me that grew up and was a huge fan of basketball, especially in the 90s in the Jordan era, and LeBron, another thing, man, I think the NBA will be a better place when LeBron leaves. They're talking about, you know, they need to consult with him to decide when the season starts. And I'm just tired of hearing how the NBA revolves around him. Every social media post and every topic on these shows on FS1 and ESPN is about LeBron. It's just bad basketball. It's bad, and I just don't like it. I mean, I don't think the players, even when Jordan was at his highest in popularity, he wasn't involved in talking with the commissioner. At least not in the media. Well, maybe there was something under the table, but. I'm just sick of LeBron. I'm sick of these guys over dribbling and jacking threes. And it's just bad. So, anyway, I just wanted to give my comment.
Reese, appreciate it.
Talk to you guys later.
Appreciate it. And I agree 100% with him. I just hate the style of basketball that Blue Rockets play. I just hate it. It was even worse with Steven Catino, but it got better with James, with Chris Paul. I thought the 65 win year, it looked a little bit different. But it's back. It's so boring. Dribble, 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 dribble. 24 seconds left.
When the ball doesn't move, when players don't move. You know, the back cut, as somebody who I grew up really loving basketball, studied it with college coaches. One of my favorite things was I just went and kept the books back in the 1994, I think it was, for a couple of different coaches in high school who were formerly one was a head coach, was on the assistant with Pat. What was his name at University of Houston, John? Pat Foster. He was an assistant on Pat Foster's staff. He was an assistant at Rice. He was head coach at HBU, Tommy Jones. And then Scott Biggett was his assistant. And he had played college basketball at HBU, had been a coach. And I learned so much from them about matchup zones, different offensive concepts. It was so fun watching that. You know, Pete Carril, with his backdoor, with his motion offense, his backdoor stuff. I was really into the UCLA offensive system and what Louisville ran and all this stuff. And he used to love all the motion and the movement.
Yeah.
And all that stuff now. I mean, the teams like Golden State who will still backdoor you and back cut you, that stuff works. It still works. Motion games still work.
To me, I don't. Since the Jordan era and I wasn't a big Kobe fan. The 2014 Spurs were one of my favorite teams ever. With all of the movement, they didn't have a player that played 30 minutes a game. They moved the ball. They were the most unselfish team. It looked like five touches. It looked like Hoosiers. It was so unbelievable what a great team that was, where everybody shared the ball. To me, that was as pretty a basketball as you'll ever see.
Is it fair, John, to say that you'd like to make basketball great again?
I would. And I would also, if I needed a job, Lance, it's fair to say that I would go to ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter?
Okay. If I was looking for a job, first of all, if I was looking for a job, I would go there. But if I was somebody that needed to find employees, now, this is something AJ should do, Mr. Gow should do, Todd, you know what? Go find the best candidates. You're looking for somebody to do a radio show, AJ, go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is so effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the right ones. They've got powerful matching technology, scan thousands of resumes to find the people with the right experience, and actively invites them to apply for your job. This is so important. There are so many resumes out there now. So many people looking for work. Are they a perfect fit for you? Are they the match? ZipRecruiter finds those matches. And you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/John. ZipRecruiter.com/John. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter.com/John.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 848, we got some calls here. If anybody else wants to get in, 713-780-3776. Spencer wants to talk about, oh no, who's next? BP? Is that BP? Hey, BP.
Hey, John, a couple segments ago, you talked about you didn't have any trick-or-treaters, is that right?
Yep.
I think you were trying to say it was because of COVID, but I think it's probably more that you just have a reputation as the creepy old guy in the neighborhood. That's why no kids went to your house.
No, I just moved in, so I'm not...
Where it travels, you're creepy.
That's a creepy old drunk kid. Don't go there. That man's creepy.
Well, that's wow. A possibility, but...
Did you have to register as creepy old drunk guy?
No, you don't have to register as creepy old drunk
guy. No, but here's the thing. I would think that John strikes me as the kind of guy, I've seen him have drinks before. You don't strike me as belligerent drunk guy.
What?
So,
no. Maybe not with you.
Oh, well, okay.
I just try to get you to drink. But
it's belligerent, though.
And I try to embarrass you. But I do that without drinks.
And it takes, you're louder, though.
Actually, when you're drinking.
Well, because I'm not on the air. I don't have a microphone.
Have a drink with me.
John, do you remember some of the things that you said during...
Dale, come over and drink. Stop being a puss and drink.
Yeah. John, do you remember some of the things you said at Listener Appreciation Party?
Yeah, I didn't think it was belligerent. I thought it was maybe out of...
Inappropriate.
The belligerent
I'm
person...
I'm inappropriate.
The belligerent person never thinks they're being belligerent.
I'm inappropriate.
That's why, you know, if you had some self-awareness, you stop being belligerent. That's why you're belligerent.
No.
It's not belligerent. John's right. He's an inappropriate
No, he's belligerent, too.
No, I'm not belligerent. Yes, you don't even know me. You've seen me drink twice. You don't know anything.
You this is how unaware you are. You drink so much that I don't even hang out with you.
Look what and you
I,
started, BP.
And I've seen you drink probably 10 times, and you're allowed 7 of the times.
Well, we were at Listener Appreciation Party. You got to have fun. You got to be the fun guy. Okay.
Has Dell ever seen you?
You don't know anything about being fun. You've never been fun. You don't have any idea.
Has Dell seen you still drunk? Yes or no?
Still drunk the next morning?
Yes.
No.
This is his thing. When he gets called out, he gets louder, and then he goes, "You don't know anything about anything.
You don't know anything about anything. Talking to you about drinking is like talking.
It's not about drinking.
It's like talking to a 3-year-old about the Texans draft.
And they
don't know nothing. You don't know anything.
They would draft better than the Texans. It's not about drinking. It's about what you do when you're drinking. I don't care about your drinking. It's what you do when you're drinking.
You don't even
know. It's annoying.
I mean, you can't talk about this.
You're the worst.
You can't speak to this.
You become one of the worst people I've ever met.
Let's get Spencer in here. What up, Spencer?
Hey, guys. You know, I was kind of surprised that the Astros didn't make a qualifying offer to Brantley. You know, but I guess it's just a sign of just how bad the economic landscape is across baseball, because there's so many players out there who are not going to have jobs, you know, like Reddick and guys like that. I don't think they're going to be able to find a job. And so at this point, I don't think Springer and Brantley are coming back next year. And so I think the Astros need to go get someone like Jackie Bradley Jr. to play center field, because if Jordan is healthy, I honestly think he might be the best hitter on the team. And if you drop the big guy into the middle of the lineup, you know, that cures a lot of problems. And, you know, another guy that would be very interesting to see how it would work would be Yasiel Puig. I know he's kind of a nut, but the dude, the guy has a hose.
No, he's got a domestic violence accusation against him just the other day. There's no chance. And he was the favorite to have a domestic violence. No, there's zero chance of Yasiel Puig. As far as, no, you don't make a qualifying offer to Brantley. He's a $16 million guy, and the qualifying offer is 18.9, which means you're giving him a $3 million raise. And the thought is that Brantley is going to go for a lot less than that, possibly $12 million a year.
But why, when he's 2 years in a row?
He's an older player now.
Yeah, but he hits.
Yeah,
he's a professional hitter. That's like a 3-point shooter. It's not going to go away anytime soon.
Here's what you're going to probably get a $5 million Dexter Fowler guy, or I'm looking at a list of.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. That you're just going to get a fill in guy. You've got Tucker. You're going to get a guy that's going to be in your 8-hole more than likely.
Okay, so it makes sense. See, Jordan needs to be a – I don't want to hear about Jordan with defense. Jordan needs to be a DH. But what does that look like outfield-wise? Because Tucker, the expectations are – okay, Tucker looked like a different player. He looked like a player who could handle a fastball. He looked like a player who belonged this year. So I'm – as a guy who's been anti-Tucker because he's looked so weak – by the end of the year, he looked like a guy who finally found his confidence at the plate. So I'm feeling much better about Tucker. But the problem is, you know, Reddick was I didn't love Reddick, but Reddick had Tucker behind him, and those two played. And then you had, you know, you knew who your left and your center was. Even if you get a Fowler, what's the other outfield position look like?
Well, yeah, again, I think it's fill-in, guys. That's all. I don't think this is a year that you're going to go and spend on that guy that's going to be – and when you lose Verlander in that $33, $34 million and the $24, I mean, you're picking up about $60 million, $57 million on those two guys.
With insurance, you do pick that up this year. Like, you're going to pick up 75%.
Well, depending on – again, I have not had confirmation that they had – it would be silly if they didn't, but I don't have confirmation – that they had. It's 75% you get back. You got to pay 25% of the contract. But I did not get confirmation yet. So the person thought it's a good possibility, but you know, it's not a lock that they have that. So anyway, neither here nor there. There's a bunch of guys out there. Hey, Marwin's available. Well, you want to bring Marwin back?
No.
Billy Hamilton, that's the kind of guy I could see. Brock Holt.
But it's not my point is, it's not coming from inside your organization.
You want Jock Peterson?
He's kind of a snot, but I would consider him.
Yeah, I would too. Enrique Hernandez, you had him.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Enrique Hernandez.
But, like, seriously, it's not in your organization, right?
It's not.
It's not going to be a Ledmus.
Well,
Diaz.
I don't know. Is it going to be, Miles Straw? Is a Ledmus going to be your everyday left fielder? I don't know.
You know what? It could be Miles Straw in center field.
An Adam Eaton, a John Jay. You got a possibility. I mean, there's guys, there's all kinds of guys that are. I didn't want to poo-poo your ass, Yasiel Puig, but you're not taking Yasiel Puig, not after last week.
No. What happened last week?
A domestic violence charge against him.
Oh, I didn't. I somehow missed that one.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I don't. That's not happening. Yasiel Puig, investigated by MLB.
After Osuna, you can forget that.
Right.
Nobody even being investigated.
Well, there was something last week that he had some kind of an issue last week.
You sure it was domestic?
Yeah, I'm almost.
Because with Puig, it could be anything. It could literally be anything.
It's a little more than domestic. Okay. You're talking sexual assault.
Oh yeah, nope.
Women accuses former Dodger of sexual assault.
Yeah, that's not good. No, no. Yeah.
Yeah, but he still gets his day. You know, you still have to do.
No, but you don't. You don't. You just.
Yeah,
go.
It's not worth.
I'm
it.
Keeping.
Yeah.
Nope. Staying away from that, especially after Osuna. Right. What? No, thanks. 8:57 ESPN 97.5. You know what I say thank you to? CBD American Shaman. CBD American Shaman is fantastic. It is something that has helped me. It helps you with anxiety. It helps you. Well, it helps me. Helps me with anxiety. It helps me. I have hip issues. I've got lower back issues. Sometimes my knee flares up. CBD American Shaman is something that cools all. I don't know how it works. It's CBD oil. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but I know they've got scientists because what they made was oil that's water soluble, because oil isn't water soluble. But when with its science, okay, and here's the deal, is if you're looking for a great, great way to feel better, to feel in your mind and your body, all of these things, it's CBD American Shaman. They've got 30 locations around the city. They can tell you which CBD oil is best for you, whatever it is that you want to attack. If you've never tried it before, go. You get free sample. They're not afraid to give free samples away. If this is something that you've been thinking about, check it out. ShopCBDTX.com. 30 locations all throughout the city. You'll love them. I'm telling you, they are so knowledgeable. They'll even help your pets with their anxiety or any issues that they have. See ShopCBDTX.com. ShopCBDTX.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.